to Nation with your host, Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned into Art Zany, radio for the imagination, and it is, in fact, one of those zany mornings. And so I'm so glad that you're here with us, and we are here. We have some great conversation. I can't wait to get to it today. I want to talk about the idea of persistence and possibility. You know, this past week, I had the great joy to be able to reconnect with a book on creativity that called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert. And it's a book I started to read and then, you know, got pulled away, but went back to it. And I am so excited about this book. I can't wait to share a little bit with you. It's a book full of inspiration and great gems of genius. It's like one of those where I wanted to just highlight and underline and take notes and write down so many things. It's all about how we use our imaginations, how to think about your creativity. So it's a book to read and reread. And I would say it's up on my top five of books on the imagination and creating. It's, again, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert. You know, and I think it's a great source of comfort if you're frustrated with creativity. It can help you let go of past messages that might be getting in your way. It's got great stories that can just help teach you to begin again or maybe begin for the first time. So if you desire to engage your imagination, I think that Big Magic is going to hold something in it that you need to hear. One section of the book focuses on persistence, and she has this great quote, which is often cited, so you may have seen this, but it's worth reading. The essential ingredients for creativity remain exactly the same for everybody. Courage, enchantment, permission, persistence, trust, and those elements are universally accessible. Again, I love that so much. The essential ingredients for creativity remain exactly the same for everybody. Courage, enchantment, permission, persistence, and trust, and those elements are universally accessible. I know that for everybody. It's true that it's out there for the taking, and it may not even have to be that complicated. But I love that she used the word ingredient, and that got to me thinking about, well, how do you make a recipe for creating? And I do love considering ideas like this. But as I consider them, it always takes me back to the idea that creating is a personal process, and a recipe that's going to work for you might only work for you in that moment. Maybe it'll only work for today, or for this project, or for this portion of the project, or for that situation. And what works for one won't always work for another creator. That's why there's no formula. It takes time to understand this, that it's a shifting piece of the puzzle, and to be aware of that is a part of the process that you need to learn. And each of us has to figure out what our mind, our imagination, experiences, emotions, environment, commitments, projects, desires, how those all factor in and help us to create a recipe to test out and see what might work and what you might need the next time. So I think it's a miracle that we make it through any project, and it's certainly something to celebrate. And that's why I love having these Art Zany radio conversations. I want to share our journeys with the hopes that we can connect with a process or a material, a practice, an inspiration that will move us to engage our imaginations. And today we have some extraordinary teachers who are here to share their stories and their art, and I'm really excited. This is one of those great days. No matter how much went wacko during the opening, this is going to be wonderful. I'm excited to welcome to the studio Erica Ness, Angie Eckern, and Kate Woodstrip from the Northfield Arts Guild exhibit, Woven Lives, Beyond the Classroom. That exhibit is up now, and it runs through August 25th, and it's there are three of the artists, I think there's 11 total artists in the show, and its opening night is tonight, Friday, July 20th, from 6 to 7. There's a talking tour. We'll have to learn more about that, and then an opening reception from 7 to 9 with refreshments served, and there are artwork from all kinds of teachers in our community, and some of them are surprising, fabulous. I think it's so fun to see, and especially as a kid, to learn that your teacher is somebody outside of the classroom. So I'd love to have you each take a minute to introduce yourselves a little bit, maybe about the school that you teach at, your experience with teaching art, and about the work that you have in this exhibit at the Arts Guild. They're all kind of looking at each other. Who wants to jump in first? Kate, they're pointing at you, so I guess you get to be first.
Okay. Well, I'm Kate Wedstrup, and I teach art at Bridgewater Elementary School, and I've taught art there for 9 years. And I thoroughly love it. And now the kids that I've started with have kind of cycled up into the high school, and it's so interesting and cool to see them develop in their journey and have our high school staff work with them now.
I think that's one of the great things about our community, especially you can see that in the all-school show that they do at the Arts Guild, that you know, all of those foundations start with all of you at the elementary school, you know, and it just keeps building. So that I didn't realize you taught for 9 years.
Yeah, I'm little, but I'm old. And I think it's such a joy because we get to see that development in elementary especially. We have our students for about 6 years. And now I'm getting the, like, siblings of my students. So in this community, we're especially lucky that we get families for a long period of time and really get to build relationships with our students and their parents or significant loved ones. So the show that we're doing right now, the Woven Live Show, in this show I have some watercolors and drawings, and I also have some ceramics. And my work focuses in on taking patterns found in nature and man-made patterns and kind of putting them together. And it's called Nature's Archetype. That's the title of my series. And I was thinking of that word archetype, that structure, that underlying structure that all things have and that we have as teachers, too. We have a structure to our day, and we have a structure to our curriculum, and it flows in a pattern. And so I was thinking about how that was weaving in with my work. And my ginkgo symbol, that actually means wisdom and knowledge. But ginkgos also have, and like most subjects in my series, they have a kind of hidden pattern, hidden strength to them. And I wanted to bring those strengths out, but do it in a really beautiful, interesting way. And so that's my series. And I'm sorry, you had other questions.
No, that's okay. Because I want you to describe, introduce people to your work. And so, like you said, you have both ceramics and watercolors.
And drawing.
Mm-hmm. On the exhibit. And I'm impressed with all the work that everybody has done. And these are recent works, we should say, from all the teachers. So they're, I think most of them within the last 2 years. And
yes.
So I think that's also exciting because you can see some of the teachers have things that you wouldn't expect, that maybe you thought you knew their work, and now they're exploring new ideas. And so I'm so excited that you're here on the show. Thank you for being
Thank
here.
You, Paula.
Angie, would you like to tell us a little more about you?
Hi, I'm Angie Eckern, and I teach at Prairie Creek Community School. And I have been there for 9 years as well, which is kind of fun to think about. And before that, I taught at Sibley Elementary School for about 5 years. So it's been such an honor to be a teacher in this community. It's an honor to be on the show and to be amongst these wonderful teachers next to me. when I think about the Arts Guild and how much it has provided for us, as a community, it feels like it's this place that holds us as our educators, as parents, as with our children, as professionals. And this show and our all-school art show, it's really unique and special to have this in our community. And I think about when we did this 3 years ago, this show, for a lot of us, we had not been creating on the side, very creative, you know, working with children, teaching. I would always say, well, teaching is my art, and that is very true. But it was so important for us to have this holding place to say, oh, that is right, we are artists, and we need to be doing this too, because this is what we're modeling. And it was a big push for a lot of us in such an amazing way. And I think about this now, our second time doing this show together, and how much we've all grown and evolved and changed, and how much we support each other along this journey. But that show 3 years ago was, I think, for a lot of us, this start of a journey that really has sparked this important part of our lives again. And so I'm so grateful because I could go on and on about that, but it's really important to remember that we are creative people and this is part of who we are, and to weave this in. And I feel like it's, you know, this full circle back to teaching our children. And I don't know, I'm just so thankful that I've been able to do this journey, and it's led to so many other things in life. But I work with driftwood, and I have this passion for finding pieces that speak to my soul. So I go up to the North Shore and find pieces of driftwood, and it has to have a feeling, right? And then I love to work with this wood and put it together, and I don't always know what it's going to become. The wood kind of leads the way. And I just follow that lead, and things start to emerge, whether it's trees or angel figures. And it's just, I love the energy of it and the flow of how it all works together. And I love to leave the wood exactly how it is. And I'll do little things to it, maybe painted details or adding turquoise. But I just love working with its natural beauty. There's so much in each piece. And the journey that it's been on to make it so beautiful is a big part of what I like to weave into my art.
That's beautiful. And I think that's a lovely part of this show too, is the, you know, the fact that it's every 3 years is what I think they're planning to do, and that, you know, that timeline is coming. And, it's beautiful to hear you say that you're reminded of, you know, you're not just, teacher of art, you're an artist yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's an important part.
Yeah.
So welcome. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you for having us.
And Erica, you're also a teacher here, and I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little. You've been here one other time. I can't remember which show that was.
Yeah, it was last year. We were talking about some upcoming events at the Arts Guild. And
yes.
So I was talking about a few things that were happening there. So
welcome back again.
Thank you. My name is Erica Ness, like you said, and I teach at Sibley Elementary. I'm coming into my fifth year. I've completed four. Used to teach in Southern California before that, and was teaching at a high school there, and taught in Kenyon, Wanamingo very briefly. So kind of had a couple different places I've gotten to be.
Mm-hmm.
The show is a really exciting opportunity. It was the first year that I was here was the first time that we had it. And it was a really interesting experience to kind of get forced into showing again. You know, it hadn't been since college that, you know, I had really even tried doing that. I think Angie hit it right on the head when she said, you know, we oftentimes teach and say that that was our art form. And, you know, by the time that you finish making all the samples and practicing and learning new techniques and going to trainings and all of these different things, you sometimes forget to do your own stuff, and so you've already invested all this time into your activities you're doing in class, and we don't get the opportunity always to focus on ourselves. And so it's been great having this kind of push and force to make us create, just like you were saying in your quote, that kind of that moment of intensity where you just need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a great opportunity for us to get to create and kind of see each other as professionals in that sense as well as in the classroom. So,
and tell our listeners a bit about your work, your fabric work.
Yeah, so this is a big shift, I guess, since the last show. The last time I was working in painting, and I guess it was always one of those things where I went to school and they always told you, you know, if you're going to be an artist, you're going to be a painter, or you're going to be a sculptor, or you'll be a ceramicist, or you'll be this. And it never felt very natural for me. I learned how to sew and do all of these very textile kind of creations ever since I was a little tiny child. My grandma always laughs like I was four and learning how to knit with her because I would make wads of yarn and she just couldn't handle it anymore. But I've always loved textiles, and there just wasn't a good fit. And about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, a friend of mine kind of started pushing me towards, like, try this, do this, and an aunt kind of pushed me towards it. And I started working with wool and finding out some really cool things you can do with it and kind of learning more about the history of it and finding out all of these different steps and processes of how people got to this point. And then getting to adapt that to what I had learned throughout my own training and how I could make pieces of art about it. So for the most part, I have these kind of two veins to my work. I do some that are more textiles, traditional wearable pieces that people can actually use on a daily basis, because I think there is some value to the context that art is not just something on a wall. But then also the idea of getting more of the traditional fine arts concept. So I try to use wool and different techniques to create almost a painterly effect with my pieces. And so I'm highly inspired by nature. I grew up here in Minnesota, and so I was surrounded by all sorts of different things, and kind of actually grew up in Northfield here, so got to see all the lovely things growing every year. And it was really fun to just come back and use those same concepts of nature and what I could see in the world around me, also influenced by what I saw in the West, and bringing that into my pieces. So,
yeah, you have several different shapes. You have wall hangings, and you have wearable art, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. some vases. And
yep, yes.
Just,
it's, like I said, wool is one of those really crazy, fun things where when you use different types or you use different techniques, you can get it to do almost anything. It's wonderful.
I love how it was a class that sparked in you something that just, you said, this is it.
Yep.
And I didn't realize that was only just a couple of years ago.
It was, like I said, wool's been around for ages. And as I look back, it's like they can trace it past all of the, Egyptians. It predates papers and things like this. It's this wonderful, beautiful history of people working with it. And it's like totally forgotten now. It's just become so modernized and normalized that we just don't even think about the process and the technique. And learning it again, I was like, oh my gosh, it has this moment where you can, like I said, connect back to thousands of years of process and ideas and all of these different traditions with it.
I love how each of you has a variety of techniques and tools and things that you're using. And I know in the opening I had talked about this idea of the ingredients that, mm-hmm. that help, bring this creativity forward for you. And I'd just be curious if each of you would spend a few minutes talking about what is it on your journey that you've discovered about, engaging your creativity, and what are some of the practices or tools or techniques or wisdoms along your journey that you've discovered that might help somebody else who's listening and thinking, wow, I'm curious too, because that's the thing that always intrigues me is how different it is for everybody. So, Kate, do you want to start and tell us a little bit about, what helps your creativity?
So, for me, it's always kind of going back to my roots a little bit and looking at past work and past symbols and subjects that really inspire me. And in this particular series at the Woven Live Show, I took a trip to the North Shore to do a workshop, a two-day workshop with a ceramicist, and she had a new technique that was also very old and had been done thousands of years in Asia, called Myalika. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is the key in glazing, where she's basically taking watercolor techniques and putting it into glaze.
Say that name again.
So this was Karen Kramer.
But the name of the technique?
It's called Myalika.
That's not something I've ever heard before, so there might be other... Do you know how to spell it, perchance?
Oh, no.
Okay. So
I'll look it up. And it was so interesting, and just to have that exposure to something that I hadn't heard of, that I was like, okay, taking one vein that I'm really, well-trained in, that I'm very comfortable with, but I still take risk, and then being able to branch that into another media... We kind of get pigeonholed into medias. And as art teachers, we have to be well-versed in everything to be able to teach everything.
That's true, right.
When it comes to our own identity as an artist, it's like, well, I do everything, so how do I kind of find what is my voice and my direction? And I think I've struggled a lot with that. So it's reaching out to others and looking at other new innovative ways artists in the larger art world are using things that really I can bring down to myself, but then bring down to my students. So I took that idea of that Majolica tile work, and I was like, oh my gosh, tile making in art, like that wasn't something I was fully into or had really tried. And I just experimented with it. And last summer, I went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. My brother lives in New York now, and I have some dear friends. And my friend, Lisa, she insisted that we go to the Syrian art collection, which Syrian art wasn't something that I really, you know, had on my list that I really wanted to see that day. And sure enough, there were some Majolica tile examples. And so I took some of those and I reworked them, and I actually used them as a background in my paintings. And thinking about that archetype, that original structure, and how old Majolica is, and then geometry, and math is something that I struggle with too, but shapes have always made sense, and angles, and patterning how things fit together. And I just love that whole concept of things all belonging and being in one place.
I think that's a great, and that's a really easy way for someone else to, you know, just to go and look at a show and be inspired by what pieces are there, or look at some past work that you've done, is a great launching pad. It doesn't take a lot of tools or special things, just to go and, you know, be inspired.
And I think it's also learning from your mistakes, too. Mm. I tell my students, and this is how kind of the show, my work in the show kind of came about, was I went through my closet. I have a closet of, like, failed projects. And they're, like, half done. They're not finished. Or I'll start something and realize that didn't work for me. It wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. Or it was going in a different direction. I'll come back to it later, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, oh, okay, but what did I like about that? And how was that working? And then pulling that into other things and learning from that. And I think I try to, in my classroom especially, tap back into that with my students about kind of coaching them through those, you know, little mishaps, or like, oh, it's not exactly how I want it. Well, what do you like about this? What are you going to take from this that's going to lead you in another direction? Mm-hmm. And I think it's that ingredient of risk that really is, it needs a lot of support behind it to take that risk. And I think in elementary school, we're so fortunate to just have students who will just take those risks automatically.
That's true, right? Yeah. They aren't afraid. They don't have like experience of everything is open to them. At least that's my impression.
And some do, you know, have that fear, and that's okay. We tell them that's okay because, you know what? Here's another sheet of paper. Here you go. Try it again.
I love that. Thank you. I feel like we're getting a master class here. This is incredible. Angie, you want to go next? You right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was just listening to what Kate was saying, and that is, I think, one of my where my heart is in teaching and also in the creative journey and thinking about what you're talking about with creativity and how maybe we can share our experiences and maybe it will spark something in someone else's life. I think that the creative journey has so many elements to it, and it is one of my biggest passions is helping guide children and students in the community too. I work at the senior center, and that is a huge passion of mine too. I love working with a variety of ages. And knowing that that when we come through to those frustrating moments in our creative journey, that is meant to be there as part of the journey. And it's through those moments that we are actually learning and growing. So when we're working with children, it's the moment of whether it's, you know, we call it a beautiful oops in our classroom, and the children get so excited now when they make a mark that maybe wasn't expected. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting, frustration is normal, right? And so we say that is a normal feeling, and now what do we do with that? We can choose these two paths. We could choose to say this is a beautiful opportunity to do something with this.
Right.
So I think that is at the heart of thinking about what Kate said and teaching children, but also in my own creative journey. There has been so many frustrating moments, and I just know that it's meant to be there and that I have to keep going forward and make it into an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the magic happens. It really does. I feel like my pieces, some of my favorite parts of my pieces came together through a part that was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? What's going on here? And then you keep working with it and you keep going with it and knowing that this is part of the journey, and then it becomes your favorite part. And so I think that can be helpful for children, for students, for all of us, because to know that those moments are key in the creative journey. So
I love that because that I think what she talks about in Big Magic is that so many people reach that point and then they give up, and they give mm-hmm. up too soon.
Yes.
And they don't work through that frustration. Mm-hmm. And knowing that is essential to the process is something that only comes through just continuing to practice it and continuing to experience it and opening that door. Like you said, I think it was Bob Ross, happy accidents.
Happy accidents.
Oh, I love Bob Ross.
Who can't not love Bob Ross, right? He just is. I used to just watch him just to kind of like when I was in high school, just to calm down and just take in the world and like be. So he's another great mentor when it comes to thinking about what you do with those moments.
Yeah.
And those are so important on the journey. And it's great that kids get the opportunity to know that's fine. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Erica, what wisdoms or ideas or thoughts do you have on the ingredients for your creating?
Yeah. I would say they've touched a lot on that idea of persistence that you brought up in the beginning. That's really essential. I mean, the reality is no matter what, when I'm making something, there's always the really distinct chance that it's going to awesomely fail. And, you know, kind of finding that, I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is my awesomely failed pieces. A lot of times I'll bring them with me to shows still, and I'll have them out at booths, and I'll be like, well, that was the most ugly, god-awful thing I've ever made. Like, whatever, put it out and see what happens. And oftentimes those are things that people really enjoy, is they like those things that I thought were awful.
So
it's been a...
And learning what your own judgment is maybe not always in tune.
Yeah. Well, and also learning that idea of personal aesthetics. You know, I have my own concept when it comes to some of my pieces of what I want them to turn out like. And I accept that, and I know my own aesthetic, and I've kind of learned to approach that. And my own concepts of what I expect from my own abilities and things like that, and being realistic about that too. You know, the reality is when I first started with a new process and new technique, I had to be okay with the fact that I was not as good as the master teachers who were teaching me, and I had to be okay with the process and slowly getting better and learning different ways that I liked working that they didn't teach me, and all of these different parts to that, which was really important. But yeah, I just, I guess the biggest thing I always think of is being just honoring yourself in the process for yourself. Is that's the main thing about getting to be creative and creating. You can't expect to be someone else, and you can't expect to do what someone else did, and you shouldn't expect those things from yourself. You should just be willing to do what you feel is important for you and what's kind of meaningful for you. And so if that means a lot of times, like I said, I just like to do techniques, and it won't be actually creating anything. It'll just be throwing together a technique, and I'm practicing it repeatedly, so I become really confident in that technique. And maybe I'm not ending up with something, and I'm not ending up with something that I will ever hang or use or do anything with, but just practicing for my own sake and feeling comfortable with that own or that part of me and my making. So
I think, wow, great, great, great ideas. And folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. I'm sitting down today with some extraordinary Northfield art educators, Angie Eckern, Erica Ness, and Kate Woodstrup. They are here to talk about the Arts Guild Gallery exhibit that is on today. It's open, and it runs now through August 25th. It's called Woven Lives Beyond the Classroom. And there is an opening tonight. So first, there is talking to tour, which starts from 6 to 7. Is anyone, could you tell us a little more about what people can expect if they decide to come to that part of the show, which I think is a neat idea?
Yeah. I can.
Go for it, Andy.
You can all do it.
Just jump in, friends. It is, the talking part is, if I'm remembering, if it's going to be similar to last time, it is, we will each kind of be in front of our art, and we will talk about our art, and anyone can come and listen, and then it's just going to be that group will then rotate to the next artist. Mm-hmm. So we will all kind of go together in a group and listen to everyone's little conversation around their art. So it's kind of just a really fun way. It was really, when we did this at the last show, it was amazing. Actually, I think my favorite part was listening to everyone's stories and their art, and just to stand there and amongst our colleagues, and here we are now as artists, art, and well, always as artists.
Yes. We kind of forget sometimes.
But now as these, you know, standing at in a gallery, that's kind of what I mean. Like, here we are as professionals, and showing our art and putting ourselves out there. It's so vulnerable and so wonderful, and an amazing journey. So listening to everyone's journey and stories was really a beautiful experience. So it's mm-hmm. it's going to be wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, and when the gallery was set up, we tried to arrange it so that there was going to be groupings. So essentially all the art from a single person is kind of grouped together. But then also it was fun finding the flow within the pieces so that there was some connectivity as you're walking through. And even if it was just certain pieces that connected well between two different artists or different colors that were showing up or a different style that kind of emerged as we were looking at them, it gave us a great opportunity to kind of see that natural flow within our own pieces and within our own group as we work along. So as you walk through the gallery, if you don't come and listen to us speak, it is kind of fun just to see how there is that connection, even though we don't necessarily, we didn't, I mean, collaborate in any way, shape, or form as we made our art. No. None of us sat down and were talking to each other, I'm sure, as we were making. So it's kind of interesting to see those things that just naturally showed up. And then when you're coming and listening to us speak, it'll be kind of a fun way to get to see our process and idea and kind of see the connections that we have within each other and within our process and our ideas and our techniques and all those things.
Yeah, there are 11 teachers. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I think most everybody will be there tonight. And that, again, is from 6 to 7. But the open reception is from 7 to 9. So I imagine mm-hmm. that you'll all be available to visit yes. with folks. And it'll be fun if some of your students come.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we want to encourage the young folks as well mm-hmm. to come and see what their teachers do. I can remember as a kid being kind of astounded that you know, my teacher would grocery shop and
yeah.
I'd
oh,
see
yeah.
her. Yeah. Like, oh, really? You aren't just always thinking about us?
They think that we live at school sometimes.
I do, yeah.
And we kind of do. So it's, I mean, they're not too far off with that thought. But I always will, like the other day, I was getting into my car in front of my house, and one of my students was like, oh, there's the Woodstrup. And I didn't, like, recognize that student right away because it's kind of summertime and we don't see them all the time. And it's like, oh, yep. Hey, how are you? And then kind of,
Yeah, and that, you know, brings me to the idea, too, that you are, and teachers have an amazing, challenging, busy, a lot of demands on your time. And so I'd be curious to visit with you about that idea of making time for your art.
Yes.
Because especially during the school year, that's, you have long days and you know, you're, like you said too, you're working with all kinds of different techniques and different students at different levels, especially in the art, you know, section, you and at the elementary level. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you manage that? What are some of the ways that, because that can be an obstacle for a lot of people. I just don't have time. But mm-hmm. you all have found the time. Mm-hmm. So you must have learned along the way how to make that happen. Erica, do you want to jump in?
Well, sure. My easiest time is my preteen daughter still loves to sleep in on the weekend. So, and I am very much a morning person. So 6 a.m. I'm up every weekend and I'll work for a few hours. And then before, as everyone else slowly emerges from their bedrooms, then we all start to interact as a family. But finding those moments where it's just you can have that calm and peace is really important. And it doesn't have to be. I usually get about an hour, maybe 2 hours in the morning before people start waking up in our house. But taking that time of, I like being up and I'm ready to go and I may as well create, is really important. But also just sometimes, you know, finding I had a frustrating day and I just needed to relax and get away, it was good to sit down and get to create. And finding time sitting on the couch as we're watching movies or as I'm, you know, waiting to pick up my daughter at whatever activity she's at, you can have 5-10 minutes where, if nothing else, you pull out a sketchbook or pull out your phone and write down some notes or ideas or whatever it is you need to do. But it doesn't have to be days of time. You don't need weeks to work on things. And a lot of times, you know, I am more inspired in 15 minutes than I am in an entire month of working on something. So just taking care of those opportunities to find time for it. I remember in high school, one of my teachers said that in English class, like she just keeps notebooks in different spots in her house because every once in a while she just would think of something. And the worst one is when you're sitting in your car in traffic and you can't get to anything to write it down. And she was like, no, it was great. You know, I started keeping a journal in my car because then I can just pick it up and write down my thought and then put it down and keep driving. You know, it was not a big deal. And I think that's one of those things that always kind of inspired me where it was, this isn't always going to be a massive amount of time. It's not structured. I can have 5 minutes here, or 20 minutes there, or whatever works. But yeah, just taking advantage of little opportunities.
That's so important. That's a great reminder to everybody. It doesn't take having everything set for you mm-hmm. and having a whole day ahead of you to yeah. that probably is never going to happen for any of us. No. Angie, what have you learned about making time?
Oh my goodness. I'm just thinking as Erica's talking about my kitchen and my kitchen studio. mm-hmm. And I think that this is such a key part because it is, I think we have this sometimes these ideas that we need to have an art studio or, mm-hmm. and the reality is I know that if I had an art studio, maybe someday I will, who knows mm-hmm. what the future holds, but I know that if I had a studio outside of my home, I would not really go right now in my life because what I've learned is I need to weave this creative journey into my life. Mm-hmm. And what that means for me right now is in my kitchen, studio with my children alongside me, and to be creating with them mm-hmm. there, and to weave it in this very healthy way of that this is how it's going to happen right now. And what I love about this is that it kind of alleviates that big idea of it needs to be this or that, and it's just happening whenever I get little moments. And I do wake up really early in the morning. That's my favorite time to create. Oh, yeah. But also you're just your children and your family, mm-hmm. you're kind of, they're watching you do this journey, and they see it happening, and there's something very beautiful about that, and just having them alongside me. And so I have found that weaving it in to my everyday life and having it right there and knowing that I'm going to do little bits and pieces. And I've found that when I need to step away, and even when it's so hard to step away, if I'm in the middle of that creative flow, mm-hmm. which takes a long time to get there, I think that's an important part too. To get into that flow, and I need to step away, whether it's for whatever reason, uh-huh. I actually, new ideas come to me when I step away. So it's this ebb and flow of coming and going that I just appreciate. I've learned to appreciate and just love.
That's interesting that you don't, because I think I've found sometimes when you are in that moment, it can be very frustrating. Like, oh, I really want to stay here, yes. but I know I got to go there and go pick up mm-hmm. somebody or, you know, start dinner or whatever the piece is. But as you're saying that, I'm thinking about our earlier comments on the idea of frustration mm-hmm. as a part of the process. Mm-hmm. And you just, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's not that idyllic space and time and place.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say, I loved what you were saying, too, about involving your family into it. I think that's been a big one in our house, too, is, you know, every once in a while, you know, the kids come in and, you know, Eva wants to make stuff with me. And we've, you know, it's great, too, because then you get these opportunities to see what they make or involving them in some, I mean, some part of it, some aspect of it, to give them an opportunity to get to be involved in it. And then it becomes really more of a family activity than it is a, you know, just here's my job and I have to do my job. So there's lots of opportunities. It's not just a individual thing.
So I have to say that I am so appreciative of my loved ones who, like, see me making artwork and just their encouragement. Like, when you do run into that frustration and you're working by yourself in your kitchen, or in my case, in my living room, and you have someone come and, you like, see what you're working on or talk about it with a neighbor, and they say, yes, like, oh, that's really interesting. Or, like, oh, that's, yeah, this color. Or, have you thought about this? And it helps you kind of get that little bit of feedback that helps you kind of keep going with that flow. But it is a challenge to try to, you know, we work from 7:30 in the morning, and our work doesn't always stop at 3:35. It goes a little bit beyond that. And then there's, you know, the usual everyday kind of things, like making dinner and doing laundry. And I clean, you know, up my classroom at the end of the day, and it's hard for me to want to go home and then clean out my own paintbrushes. So it's being intentional with that practice and having a pen with you at all times, or just being aware of what you're seeing and kind of sponging that and putting that into your creative energies. And then when you do make that opportunity to get in your studio, whatever that studio in quotation marks is, then letting that out. And I think it's just really, I look for times when I have it available, but also when, now that we're out of art school, you know, if we were out of art school, I'm just going to hold this.
That's okay. You can tip it that way if it makes you comfortable.
Next, like, training. So now that we're out of art school, or out of our original studio art program, we don't have those deadlines. And I really like working to a deadline. So kind of enforcing my own deadlines is something that I've had to get used to doing. Like, I'm going to try to get this piece done in 2 weeks, or I'm going to try to get to this point tonight, or I'm going to get to this point by the end of the week. And that's especially helpful. I also think that when we're learning a new technique and we're going to teach it, like, I've been developing a pottery wheel program at my elementary school, which has been so wonderful, and I'm so thankful to our booster club, who has helped promote that and funded that, and our parents and loved ones at Bridgewater, who supplied the funding for that. But then I had to kind of amp up my skill set and start making more ceramics and start practicing technique, and that kind of pushed me into wanting to do pottery more and really embrace that and try new things.
I think there's, I hope that for everybody listening, there's lots of little nuggets that are sparking ideas and inspirations for you. And I want to make sure we talk about the other teachers that are in the show as well, because there'll be, we maybe just give a quick description of some of the styles of work that are going to be there. The teachers, is it John Bade? Is that how you say
John
it?
John Beatty.
Beatty. I knew there was a trick to his name. Rafael Estrella, who's at the middle school. Karna Hauk, who's at the high school. Chris Holmquist, who's at the high school, and Ren Kurtz, I have not met.
She's at Greenvale.
At Greenvale. Jill Luoma Overstreet at Arcadia, and Catherine Norrie at the high school. And Vicki Stanley does a great job with a lot of the homeschool students. And so all of you have come together for this show. There's a whole variety of, let's talk a little bit about what people can expect when they walk through that gallery door, the materials and the techniques and some of the pieces. Each of you want to just take a minute to talk about your, although maybe you haven't seen the show yet.
Yeah, well, we drop things off, and some people have their stuff there when I drop my stuff off, but, like, Angie's stuff wasn't there yet, and so I haven't seen what you're doing. but I know I can speak for Catherine Norrie. Catherine Norrie has some printmaking things. And Chris Holmquist, he has some digital work, but I think, also ceramics.
And that's what I was going to say is might be a surprise to people, because you usually think of Chris Holmquist and is it Sue Holmquist?
Yes.
And their graphic arts, the animals that they have doing all kinds of hilarious, involved in some hilarious antics on their pottery. And so he has some, pictures, digital pictures, and that's surprising. Yes. And Rafael Estrella, I usually think of him with his beautiful paintings, and there's some ceramics that he's doing. Was it John Beatty that did the masks?
Yes.
Which are just, like, if you, like, they blow your mind.
Well, I was going to say, it's very similar to anyone who went through the Northfield Public Schools and, of course, had any of John's classes knows that he has this wonderful kind of comic style to his work. And I still have pieces from when I was in middle school that he made me that are so fun, and you can never get rid of them. He's got this great little kind of comic style that comes into his pieces and these great sculptural works that he made, some that are wall and some that are going to be also on stands. So they're really fun things for the students to see. And I know he brings some of that into his classroom, too. So it's a great connection for the kids who have been with him to kind of get to see that.
Yeah. And
And I was just going to say, Karna has wood. They're kind of house kind of shaped pieces. And then she does a technique with printmaking on rice paper and oil painting behind it. And it's a really amazing. Oh, you got to kind of see it in our class.
I know we did that. A wonderful, and one of my favorite experiences is to be able to go and take a class from some of these fabulous teachers. And I look forward to it every year. Yeah. And so, and I think the great thing about teachers is that they're really accessible, and they are, you can ask all kinds of questions. Karna's would be a great example to her technique is just when you're in front of it, it's easier to ask the questions, to be able to see how she creates those dimensions and draws and prints, and it's just it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so it's a show that I'm so excited that they're doing that. I'm so excited that this inspired you to bring it together. And I want to ask too, because I think that we maybe talked a little or hinted a little about the support that you all give each other. And is that something that you work together, or is it informal or organized, or tell us about that part of the journey for you.
Yeah, it's pretty informal. Like we had the meetings this year about the show, and so we were kind of saying, oh, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm kind of lucky. I live next door to Vicki Stanley's daughter. So I see Vicki Stanley quite often. And so I was able to show her photographs of my work and ask her questions. And Vicki is so experimental. And she has these beautiful, like, bluish gray, I think they're fabric dyed and then painted on top, kind of abstract pieces. And they're so cool and just interesting. And I love hearing Vicki talk about her work and how she tries different things out. And I visited her home, and she's just got, these beautiful calligraphy things on her table, and she's just trying things. And I love that energy that she has. And she is part of the show, and I haven't seen her work up, but I'm excited to see that up. And so, and then Angie and I have talked a little bit, because we both are attracted to the same color palette. And Catherine, Nori, and I have talked too, because we have similar subject. But it's pretty much done in isolation. So it's really interesting how we were talking earlier about how some pieces kind of flow into one another, but that's totally unintentional. So.
But it's great. I think in general, our community is really supportive. And so it's something that I know I've experienced in just being able to, come together to bring this show to life. And I have that deadline, as you mentioned earlier, Kate, how important those can be for all of us to bring, take those risks and bring forward the work that's already within us that we just have to bring out. I've had a really fabulous time talking with all of you. Is there anything else we need to tell people that to you know, about the show, I want to make sure that you know that that's tonight, Friday, July 20th. 6 to 7 is the talking tour at the Northfield Arts Guild. That's right downtown on Division Street. We'd look for the purple door. And the opening reception is from 7 to 9. So everyone is welcome and invited, young and experienced, inexperienced, old, new to the Arts Guild, new to town, been here forever. Everybody's invited.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great thing to remember, too. It's a very approachable show. Like you were saying, we are art teachers, and so we are used to getting a lot of different types of questions, and we're very good at trying to be approachable with our audience. And so if you have never come to an art show, this is a great one to come to, because when you have someone, hopefully, that you're somewhat connected to, if you especially have had students who went through the school systems here, or if you happen to just know one of us, it's a great way to kind of get involved and know more about the NAG as well, and kind of learn a little bit about how we approach arts in the community.
NorthfieldArtsGuild.org is a website if you want to get a little bit more information. I also want to mention that during this exhibit in their Up Gallery, they're featuring Creating Connections artwork by participants of their Creating Community Club, and they're going to have a reception Monday, July 30th from 6:30 to 7:30. So you can also wander upstairs to the Up Gallery and take a look at what's there. And I want to remind you as well that Next to Normal tickets are on sale now for that Northfield Arts Guild production. They were my guests last week. That show opens on the 27th, so next weekend, but you can get your tickets right now. I want to thank Eric Parrish, Michelle Drenth, and Elijah Lear for being my guests. I'm really excited about this musical that takes audiences into the mind of a suburban mom, her family, the struggles with mental illness and life, trying to figure out everything. It reminds me a little bit of Rent. The music is really great. So if you're a fan of Hamilton or Rent, you might really also love this. And it runs for 2 weekends, but I know the tickets will sell really well. So get your tickets now, northfieldartsguild.org. And also at the Paradise Center for the Arts, they have Little Shop of Horrors. ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org is where you can get all those ticket information. That also opens on the 27th, so a big theater weekend's coming up. And that runs, I believe, for 2 weekends. So get information about that classic sci-fi smash musical. So it'll be, I think that's, summertime is a perfect time for a good musical. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. You really, it brings me joy to be able to share with you these stories, and I hope that it inspires you to add some art zany to your life. And I hope that in the meantime, until next time, you enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8888.